This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 248. This episode was previously recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's back to school for a timely topic. It's Robin 101. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 10th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are taping this in advance due to another commitment.
Yes, Mark is going to go work on producing something.
Ooh.
Ooh, maybe you guys will see it in the future.
Maybe. And since last week saw the death of Damian Wayne in the comics, we thought it'd be a perfect time to go over the whole Robin continuity and all the various Robins there have been. Starting with probably the best well-known, Robin number one, Dick Grayson. We're going to start in the Golden Age for the character. His first appearance was in Detective Comics number 38, 1940.
So was that like, what, 6 months or something after Batman? Or
right.
Longer?
Less than a year, certainly, because
okay.
He first appeared in 1939. He was created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger. Name was based on Robin Hood. And some could argue he is the first kid sidekick.
Who would not argue that?
Well, there's some other characters over at Marvel, and depending on when the thing actually hit the
newsstands.
Okay. There was Toro, who was Human Torch's sidekick, and he got his own feature in Star Spangled Comics in 1947-52. His storyline is he's the youngest member of the Flying Graysons, circus acrobats. Boss Zuko kills his parents when the circus doesn't pay up for protection money. And so, like you do in the 1940s, Bruce Wayne just makes Dick his legal ward, and they solve the crime together.
Well, even today, if a multimillionaire came up and said, I want to adopt that kid, you know.
I suppose. But it was very quick, and there was not a lot of legal paperwork involved, apparently. It's just like, hey, can I take him? Sure. When Batman ends up retiring and is later killed on Earth 2, again, this is all Golden Age Earth 2, Robin continues to be Robin. He doesn't become Batman, but he changes his costume. It's a little less of a kid costume, and he ends up joining the JSA. So now let's switch over to the Dick Grayson for the Silver Age, because at some point in the Batman mythos, they move over to Silver Age. And this is always difficult to see where that happened, because they were continuously producing the Batman title through that whole period.
Well, you know, in a way, that sort of reflects here in our New 52, where they didn't really change Batman for the New 52.
Right.
Huh.
There's not a particular demarcation
so
point.
There was a precedent for the New 52 decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he later joins the Teen Titans, the first iteration of Teen Titans in 1964, consisting of Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad, and Wonder Girl. He ends up going to Hudson University in 1969.
You know, Hudson University is often featured in Law and Order.
I saw the reference. There's several shows. It was referenced on Castle.
Mm-hmm.
It was referenced. There was like half a dozen shows that used this name, Hudson University.
Mm.
So he chafes at being the kid sidekick, and he ends up becoming Nightwing in 1984. And becomes quite the Casanova in the DC universe. You have Donna Troy, Starfire, Batgirl, Huntress, Raven at various points.
Let's be real. He's the ward of an only heir at this point of a multimillionaire. He's cute. He's agile.
Yeah.
He's in good shape.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to get the girls.
He ends up becoming Batman twice, both temporarily. right after Nightfall, at one point, he became Batman. And then after Batman RIP, where he teamed up with Damian in their own series. And that's how the Batman and Robin series began, with Dick as Batman. References to Dick Grayson in the media. He was played by Douglas Croft in 1943 and Johnny Duncan in 1949 in the Batman movie serials. And if you want to see some really cheap production values, go watch the Batman movie serials. The Batmobile, I think, is just a sedan.
Uh-huh.
And I think if they put the top up, it's the Batmobile. And if they take it off, it's not.
Excellent.
That's about it. It's played, of course, by Burt Ward on the Batman TV series, 66 to 68. He's played by Chris O'Donnell in the 90s movies. And he's played by Lauren Lester in the animated series. So certainly the most documented and most well-known of the Robins. Robin number two is Jason Todd, first appearance in Batman number 357, 1983. Also, originally the son of circus acrobats before the Crisis on Infinite Earths, and they did a reset, and now he's just a street youth who tries to steal the tires off the Batmobile. And then he helps Bruce catch a gang of robbers, and Bruce offers him the job because just recently, at that point, Dick had gone off to be Nightwing. He was never really a hit with the readers or the critics. And in A Death in the Family, 1988, there was the infamous 900 number where you could call in and say, who should be killed? And I believe it was Commissioner Gordon, Robin, or I think Alfred.
Well, of course Alfred wouldn't be killed.
Right. And Jason won that by a hair, and so Joker kills him. And a lot of people believe this was rigged by DC, and there's also indications that, because remember, this was in the early days of the whole 900 number concept, and it was apparently pretty easy to like do a script that would just call and call and call. Like I said, it was by a hair. There were several thousand votes, and I think Jason was killed by 58 votes.
Well, yeah.
And then after a retcon in 2005, he was back as Jason, but now he's the Red Hood, this vigilante anti-hero. At one point, he was Red Robin, and he got his own New 52 series in 2011. Robin number three, Tim Drake. His first appearance in Batman number 436, 1989, actually named after Tim Burton, the Batman movie director. He sees the Flying Graysons as a child, and he uses deduction to figure out their secret IDs because he sees Robin perform the same acrobatic maneuver that he saw in the circus.
He uses deduction to figure out Batman and Robin's
because of the Flying Graysons. Right. So Bruce offers him the job, and in this case, an armored costume after what happened to Jason Todd. He later founds Young Justice, consisting of Connor Kent's Superboy, Impulse, the Cassandra Sandsmark Wonder Girl, Secret, and Arrowette.
He later, I liked Arrowette.
I did
just
too.
Just as an aside.
And I think she was or is in the Young Justice cartoon. I don't know if they're still doing the Young Justice cartoon or not. He also formed a later version of the Teen Titans. He was the first Robin to get his own titled series that went on for 20 years, 1989 to 2009. And I remember when this first came out, especially they did like three miniseries because they really weren't sure they wanted to do an ongoing title.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a Robin 1, Robin 2, and Robin 3 miniseries. And they all had lenticular covers because that was huge at the time.
Woohoo!
His father is killed during Identity Crisis, and then Bruce formally adopts him as his son. And this time it was done a lot more from a legal perspective of doing it.
Well, I think at the same time, didn't he also adopt Dick? I thought he kind of did.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And then several events later, becomes Red Robin with his own series, 2009 to 2011. Now, in the New 52, he was never Robin. He was just Red Robin, although this is contradicted in some stories. So they already had continuity problems, and this happened almost immediately. Now, I was reading that in a collected edition, one of the trade paperbacks of New 52, they changed a reference to say, oh, no, we were wrong. But in another collected edition, they didn't.
So, editors.
Yeah. Where are you? He forms the new Teen Titans, and he's seen in the Batman Animated and the Batman Beyond series.
He never died.
Right. Robin 4, Stephanie Brown. Her first appearance as Spoiler in Detective Comics number 648, 1992. As Robin in Robin number 126, 2004. And then as Batgirl in Batgirl number 1, 2009. She was the daughter of this minor villain Clue Master and ended up being a love interest for Tim Drake. At one point, there was a pregnancy scare, although not with Tim. And during No Man's Land, she demands that Bruce train her as Robin. And he quickly fires her for disobeying him, and she accidentally starts this gang war in Gotham. She had this grand plan of how she was going to fix things during No Man's Land, and it creates a huge disaster. Black Mask tortures and apparently kills her. Later, this was proven to be a ruse, so she comes back. She comes back to be Batgirl for a time, and she's a no-show in the New 52 yet.
Yeah, but maybe she'll come back.
At every convention, they say, when's she coming back? When's Stephanie Brown coming back?
Everybody loves Stephanie.
Right. Robin 5, Damian Wayne. His first appearance as a baby in Batman Son of the Demon 1987. I think they've... He wasn't actually named Damian then. I think they've just decided that that was his first appearance. His first real appearance as Damian is in Batman number 655, 2006, and then as Robin in Batman and Robin number 1, 2009. So Grant Morrison took a mostly unknown character, just that it was a baby, and gave him a name.
Mm-hmm.
He's the son of Bruce and Talia al Ghul. He was gestated in a lab and trained to be an assassin by Talia, because he's going to be the leader of the League of Assassins eventually. She ends up dropping him off with Bruce, who had no idea he existed.
And why did she decide to do that? I can't remember.
I think because he was being too willful and thought that maybe he wouldn't work out, or maybe that he also needed to be trained by Bruce.
Oh, okay.
The idea being, well, he can get everything he needs from Bruce, and then I'll go pick him back up, and then he'll be ready to be running the assassins.
Yes.
He becomes Robin at age 10 when Tim becomes Red Robin during a time when Bruce is apparently dead. And that was the whole Batman RIP, and he went through time and all of that. He teams up with Dick as Batman in their own book, 2009-11. So the original Batman and Robin title is where we see the two of them together. He was in the Teen Titans for a very short time because that did not work out.
He is really not a team player.
He's not. We learned that 100 years in the future, he's become Batman thanks to a Lazarus pit, so he's still around. And he ends up saving Terry McGinnis as a child, and Terry McGinnis will become Batman Beyond. So they really tied him very closely into continuity.
And then...
Then they killed him last week. Batman Incorporated number 8, 2013. And we'll see how long that actually lasts.
Yeah. Or maybe Talia has a couple spare Damians in the...
Yeah. And let's not forget Robin 6, Carrie Kelly from The Dark Knight Returns, 1986. Not considered to be in continuity. She's the first female Robin to a much older Bruce Wayne. And he saves her from this mutant attack. And Bruce likes her spunk, essentially. It says, yeah, you want a job as Robin?
Very Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. Now, she did end up appearing in an issue of Batman Animated comic, because there was an issue where there were all the Robins were brought together by this mysterious, I think it was by Phantom Stranger or the Spectre or something. And so Carrie's there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little tip of the hat to Dark Knight Returns. So as you see, there were a lot of Robins. I'm sure there will be more Robins. There's a big rumor there's going to be a new Robin.
Stephanie Brown. Oh, sorry.
Well, someone, which would make sense because there's still an ongoing Batman and Robin title, which they'd otherwise have to cancel. So this character has been around now for, what, 73 years? And I don't think you're going to see Robin going away anytime soon.
I don't either.
Well, sorry, we don't have any Who's on the Cover this week because we are taping this in advance. I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 reviews. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.